Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2023 Youth Education Conference held in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Thank you so much. As she said, I'm Annette Whitlock. This is my son, Jonathan Whitlock, and you are in the Enduring Well to the End class. If you do not want to endure well to the end, go somewhere else, okay? And I'm going to want some participation, so if you guys want to move up a little bit, I would love that. If not, you're fine where you are. All right, let us begin. This is one of the first paintings that, do you remember when you painted this?
I think it was a success.
Okay. Okay, so you have to understand, so we had that year of studio arts major at SVC, and he was doing great. We're going to get more into the story in our closing address. So just not going to spoil anything for you. But really, he could barely do anything afterwards. In fact, we didn't even think he'd be able to paint again. He could no longer do his music. That was his other big talent. Yeah. Tell him what you were able to do before, what you did.
Before I got...
Turn around. And by the way, we have a project and enunciate little sign up here because one of the disabilities was his speech, but he does have a sense of humor, so I want you guys to hear all of that. So go ahead, Jonathan. What, oh my goodness, what, and memory issues are one of his issues as well. And I'm old, so it's one of my problems too, but go ahead, continue. Okay, what did I ask him? Oh my goodness. All right.
For him to tell us what he could do with the music.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
What were you able to do with music beforehand?
Up to my accident, I did learn to play piano, guitar, drums, kazoo, and other stuff.
Right, and sing and compose.
Yeah,
and
so I took moments out to record music and write my own songs and got serious about it.
Yes, and you'll hear one of his songs called The Long Run, which is the title of our book, in the next one presentation. So that mostly was gone. He still sings in the ward choir. yay! But we wondered about his art, and it wasn't until about 10 months after the accident that he was able to pick up a paintbrush, switching from being left-handed to right-handed, because his left side is pretty useless.
Yep.
Sorry, John. And, it was crazy to see what he was able to do, and I'll show you in a little bit what that first painting looked like. But this was shortly after, this was probably about 2 years later, I think 2002 or 2003. And what I love about this painting, do you remember that? That's his self-portrait. Now, think about it. First time he did self-portraits before, but this is the first time that he did one of him in his wheelchair. And yet, look how comfortable he looks already in that situation. That's one thing I've always admired about Jonathan, is he has just kind of goes with the flow. So he's in a wheelchair now, but hey, he's still got his little goatee thing happening and still crosses his legs that way. I mean, it was just this painting showing that he was content with what life gave him. Enduring well to the end, you just don't know what life is going to give you. But one of the things that I would suggest is that you be content with whatever you are dealt. not frustrated, not angry, but work with it. And so he did. And he now is a professional artist, and that's just been such a good blessing that God still gave him that ability. All right. This is a quote from my patriarchal blessing, and I felt inspired to share that with you. After a long and useful life, you will look back and know, Annette, and all of you, hopefully, that the Lord has blessed you abundantly, for you will have had a choice life. I'm 63 years old. I think I qualify to be able to start looking back, and I do see that not despite, but because of the challenges that I have had in life, this whole thing with this car accident probably being the big one, but even just getting prepared for today, that was a little long run for me, okay? I'm not used to this, and so that was a challenge, but all of these things in my life, I can look back and I can see that I have a choice life. I have had a choice life. I hope to continue. I think that's what all of you want to do and say as well. So, let's talk about how we're going to accomplish that. Are we going to just endure life, bracing for it? When there's snow comes, are you going to get clobbered by those snowballs and just run away? Hmm. Or are you going to take that snow and do something good with it? And by the way, these are all John's paintings, all right? So there's the difference between just enduring and enduring well. That's the difference between bracing and embracing. All right, little quiz here. What do you see? What is going on in that first painting, the one with the man and his journal? What do you see? Okay, thoughts.
He's sad.
He looks frustrated.
He looks tired.
Maybe tired with life or just tired. Okay.
He looks prayerful.
Anyone else?
Overwhelmed.
Pondering. Annoyed.
What was that?
Annoyed.
Wow. These are all great answers. Jonathan, let me ask you. You're the one that painted him. What is he thinking? Or what is it about?
Well, if you look at his mouth, it's like grandchildren. So he's pondering a joke here the other day.
Say that again and project and enunciate.
If you look at his mouth, it's like grandchildren. So he's pondering a joke here the other day.
Okay. So Jonathan, okay, so we have all different answers. Now, sometimes when you ask Jonathan, especially some of his way out there art, well, what is this all about? And he'll always say,
it's whatever you want it to be.
Yes, it's whatever you want it to be. So those were good answers. And I love how it evokes all those different answers. But I want to categorize them into, before I do that, let's go to the second painting. Okay. We have a man in a wheelchair sitting on the edge of a cliff. Okay, what is going on? What do you see?
He's enjoying nature.
Okay, he looks like he's enjoying nature. He's imagining what?
He's imagining happiness.
Happiness. He's imagining happiness. Okay.
Feels happy that he got all the way up there by himself.
Okay, yes. How did the wheelchair get up that cliff? He's like, yes, Mount Everest, here I come. What else?
He's enjoying himself.
Okay. Jonathan, what is he doing?
Well,
What do you think he's doing? And it's interesting because he has a lack of, or has short-term memory problems. Every time I ask him these questions, they're always something different. It's great. He's trying to remember something. Okay, this is the overlook one.
Yeah.
And he forgot. Okay. I love that none of you said he's ready to jump off the cliff. He's discouraged. He doesn't want to be in that stupid wheelchair anymore.
I gave it to him.
Okay, thank you for your honesty. Nobody wanted to say it. Why didn't you want to say it? Because that is the pessimistic way of looking at things. So, what we want to do is we want to live joyfully as an optimist. Enduring, bracing, that's whole pessimistic attitude. And so it was interesting. All of you were optimists on the overlook. But the reflection painting, there were only a couple of you, two or three of you, who were like, he's prayerful, he's pondering, you know. And it's funny because I'm a natural optimist. And so I, of course, thought he was praying about what he was, you know, what he had, about his life and what he had read in his journal. But in this case, some of you may be natural pessimists. It just kind of depends on what our personalities are like, right? And then, of course, some of you have been dealt some really hard things in life that, because of your environment, you may be more of a pessimist about life or a cynic. But I'm here to say we can all try to be optimistic about life. And so that's what we're going to do, is give you some suggestions today about how to do that. So we're going to think optimistically. What does enduring well look like? The one on the left is called, what's that one called, Jonathan? Can you see okay?
The situation,
right. He's blind in his left eye. Fortunately, he's turned the right way. And then this is the cover of our book. And again, notice how comfortable he looks. Now, I didn't, when I took the reference photo, I did not place him in the middle of a U.S. highway, okay, just so you know. that came later. But it really was great because, again, it shows that he's comfortable with his situation right now. But at that time, 10 months after the accident, first painting, the scribbles, there's about all he could do. And yet he was able to still put a face in there. And when I saw that face, I was like, oh my goodness, maybe something is in there. But he titled it The Situation because life at that time was just very confusing to him. Okay, so what does enduring well look like for you? I'm going to start you out, but be thinking of it because I want to ask you what it might entail. First thing we thought of is it's taking your faith and using it to trust God and His ways, even when you don't understand. That's sometimes, you know, if you know why something bad's happening, you're like, okay, I can deal with this. I can still trust God. Yeah, I got my faith because I understand it. I get it. But what about those times when you don't get it? Well, when you're enduring well, you still have to let that go. I'd like to read for you because it shows that this is something I had to deal with. So the book that I wrote was just basically my journal entries, emails, letters to friends and family. I compiled them into the story. Very interesting to have the whole world available to my intimate thoughts, but I really, really felt prompted to share and have other people learn from what I learned. So here's a letter that I wrote to my friend. Don't you just look forward to the life after this when it will be one eternal sigh of, oh, I get it now. Again, there are times when I ache to get it now, but know that for reasons not yet completely understood, my perfectly loving Father in heaven chooses not to divulge all at this time. And that's where trust comes into play. How often I have had trust be my solace these past 2 months. It is what drives despair and hopelessness away, two feelings that do no good. So when you don't understand, it does strengthen your faith and your trust if you lean into it. Okay? So the next thing, allowing God to lead you, guide you, and walk beside you. I won't ask any of you to sing, I am a child of God. But as a grown-up, we know that song is about two parents, lead me, guide me, walk beside me, help me find the way back. But my parents live 2,000 miles away. They're 90 and 91 years old. I really need to have my Heavenly Father and my Savior there. And so, what does enduring well, doing well with your life look like? Sometimes, what I want you to do is just picture for a moment in your head Jesus Christ as the shepherd. And sometimes he's going to lead you. So you get to just follow. He's going to just simply show you the way. It may be through scriptures. It may be through the Spirit. It may be through what the prophet says. But you just have to follow. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I love being led. Because I think all of us in this room want to do good, want to have happiness and joy in our lives for a long, long time. So that's one of the simple ways you can do it, is just simply follow. Now, picture that shepherd, Jesus Christ, but this time you're in front of him and he's guiding you. Those are the times in life where you don't necessarily know where you're going. I think of the times you've had to step out into the darkness, take those first few steps. Fear, anxiety hits, but you know you need to because you hear the Spirit whispering to you, this is the right path. You can do this, Annette. You can do this. Boy, that was me with this whole day today. I've really been guided. I wish I could have just followed, but that's what it's like. Sometimes that's what you do. You have to step out into the darkness. And then the last one is my favorite one. Every morning, almost every morning in my prayer, I ask Heavenly Father to just, can we have a peaceable walk together today? Walk beside me. That's such a great feeling. That's when you feel the Spirit, when you need him. That's when you're doing those things that you can to invite the Spirit, and you've got a companion. You've got your Heavenly Father. You've got your Savior. You've got the Godhead as your companion. Wow, isn't that amazing? All right. The next one is living as Jesus would want you to live. You've heard the
WWJD.
Thank you. This is more of a WWJN. What would Jesus want of you? What does he want you to do? How does he want you to live? Jonathan, can you tell us some of the things that you're doing in your life that you think that Jesus is happy with? What do you fill your life with that you feel like brings the Spirit that he would be pleased with you.
I read scriptures.
Okay. He reads scriptures every night. Even though he can't remember what he read the next day, he still reads the scriptures.
Yep.
I've lost count over the last 24 years since the accident how many times he's read the Book of Mormon, the New Testament, the Old Testament, the Doctrine and Covenants. Better than me. All right. What else do you do?
That's a good question.
I'll give you some clues. He goes to the gym twice a week.
Oh yeah. I go to the gym twice a week with my tendon. I work out. That's why I'm not overweight or obese.
Yeah, he knew if he was going to be in a wheelchair that it was going to be easy because he could just be very sedentary. So he made a goal. And I think that's the point is you have made goals. He made a goal that he was not going to get overweight. So every morning he does sit-ups and push-ups. Twice a week he goes to the gym. Another goal, he sets goals. Another goal he wanted was to learn to write with his left hand again. It was just barely able to hold the pencil, but after COVID helped, but after the last, I would say, it took him 2 years maybe, and now he writes as well with his left as his right. Just, he's goal-oriented, and he writes everything down in his iPad so he can remember everything. That is his brain. So he sets goals. That is what I think for him, that's what the Savior wants him to do. He got those ideas in his head. Another thing that he's very good at is extremely grateful, very thankful for everything I do for him, for everything his dad does, everything anybody does for him. I love that. That doesn't typically happen with people who are in wheelchairs. If they've been born with a disability, it's so easy to get into that routine of just having everything taken care of for you. You know, you're supposed to be there to serve me, but he just came back from this coma, wherever he was, just wanting to really be thankful. Okay, let's talk about the last one. It's keeping an eternal perspective. There are going to be times in your life that you try to be up and you try to be optimistic, and life still stinks. It's just so hard. I can't do this anymore. And the best thing I can say is just remember that it's just going to be for this teeny weeny little time on this teeny weeny little earth life, and that we have an eternity. And also, don't be too hard on yourself. There we go. We are going to mess up now and then. But we weren't, remember, we don't have to be perfect. We have repentance. We have the Savior. We have that opportunity to learn from our mistakes. All you need in this time here on this earth is to be willing, just like it says in the sacrament prayers. It doesn't say you have to. It says just be willing. Get your heart in the right place. You don't have to do your best. Just do what you can. Just do what you can. Okay? So, does anybody else have anything else they want to add to my list of things that you think, what you see like when you're my age and you can look back and say, this is why I feel like I've had a choice life? Yes?
Doing your best the same thing.
I love that, and I love that question. Isn't doing your best the same thing as doing what you can? We as a family have had dinner time conversations about that. And here's our conclusion. So let's say that I am doing my best up here, okay? Well, how do I know that that's my best? I bet I could have done better if I didn't have this cold I'm dealing with. I could have done better if I had had more experience. Okay, so this is my best. How do I know that? It's like this, there's always something better. You pay your tithing, 100% tithing, right? But did you do it with the right attitude? Did you do it perfectly? Doing your best means you have to do it perfectly. That's your best. And I feel like that's unattainable.
Amen.
So, thank you.
I agree.
So, anytime anybody tells you, just do your best, say, I'll do what I can. And that's it. You're going to do what you can. Then you don't get so discouraged and frustrated with yourself. We're going to get to that, too. So thank you. Yes?
Oh, seriously, like saying, give it your 100%. Like, even if it's not going to be perfect, you're still trying to aim for the perfection that you can reach, and you have to be willing just to say, okay, this is what I can do, and this is as good as I can make it. And you have to just let that be enough.
So achieve, and let your goal be the 100%, but be content with what you are able to give it. Good. Thank you. All right. Let's move on. Oh, thank you. Yes.
I just love the scripture story about the feeding of the 5,000, where, like, the boy, all he could give was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and that was just his little offering that was not enough to feed all those people. But it wasn't him that made it enough, it was Christ. So I've always loved that.
Thank you. I love that too, because we don't have to be complete. We don't have to be whole and perfect. We just have to match up with Jesus Christ and invite him in to be the person that makes it that 100%. Yeah. What was that, John?
Let Christ pick up the slack.
Let Christ pick up the slack. Wow. Very good. So if all you have to offer is the 7 loaves of bread and 5 fishes or something like that.
5 loaves of bread and 2 fish.
Thank you. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Whatever you have to offer, do it, but you're not alone. You don't have to do it alone. All right. Let's talk about some very practical things that you can do to endure well, that will bring peace in your life, that will bring joy, that will bring happiness, that you are going to be thrilled to wake up every morning and see, what does the next day offer? All right. The first one is something I've been teaching ever since I was the young women's president years ago. Fill your days with QEU. If you don't write anything else down from what we've said, please write this down. Everybody in my family, everybody at church now knows. I go, well, is it QEU? If they ask me to do something. So what is QEU? QEU is taking your spare time, taking those choices that you get to make in life, and bringing it, as a modern term, bring it up to a higher and holier level. Putting purpose into it, putting meaning into it, chunking it up a level, not just being satisfied down here. You're going to raise the bar on what you do, what you listen to with your music, what you're going to be doing with the media, what shows you watch, what games you play, what interactions you have with people. It's also going to be, did I mention books? The books you read? Okay, that kind of thing. Even deciding what hobbies and talents that you want. Can you make sure the hardest one, what do you think is the hardest one to achieve? Quality, enjoyable, or uplifting? Shout it out.
Uplifting,
especially in today's world, because the world is just giving you mediocrity, okay? But we want more, and we can have more. In fact, the world is also offering us better tools to get more. So, for example, with my music, I used to collect CDs, and I try and listen to the ones that I felt were QEU, quality. No bad language in them, nothing gross, okay? Enjoyable. Music I enjoy listening to. It may not be what you enjoy listening to, but it's what I enjoy listening to. And uplifting. It lifts me, my spirits. it just lifts me to a place I need to be. Well, nowadays, I got Pandora. And so wonderful Alexa can help me to get some playlists going. So, for example, on the way over here, I'm nervous. I was so stressed out.
Oh, yeah.
And yet I had Pandora play me the Piano Guys radio. Thank you. And it was just calming, and I tell you, that's exactly what I needed. So you have tools, even movies and shows and things like that. There's trailers. You can watch the trailers. You can get an idea. There's other people out there that you trust and say, hey, is this a good book? Or is this movie right? You've got the, where you've got, what is that called? Where the parent's guide, you know, it'll tell you ahead of time.
Common Sense Media.
Common Sense Media, thank you, yes. So use those kind of tools to fill your life because, frankly, you need spare time, you need downtime, so why not lift it to a higher place? All right? So think about that again as with your books, your music, your TVs, your movies, your friends. Ooh, that's a tough one. Your friends, your hobbies, what you do in your spare time. Okay? Adjust the expectations bar as needed. So we've already talked about really doing that with the QEU of life. We're raising the bar for that. Well, I'm here to tell you, you may have to lower the bar for your relationships. Do you ever get frustrated with your siblings or your parents? Okay?
I'm not holding back.
All right. Well, you know what? That's because your expectation is too high. That's it. So lower the bar, and maybe they'll pleasantly surprise you. Woohoo! That's okay. But you don't expect as much out of them, you're not going to get frustrated. You're not going to get angry. All right? So, Jonathan, you obviously cannot do the music that you like to do, that you used to be able to do. So you have had to lower your bar.
To the kazoo.
Well, let's talk about the piano.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So he was able to play beautiful music before. Did you just say, hey, I'm done? I get too frustrated. I get too upset trying to play like I used to?
Yeah.
No. No, you don't.
I did a couple of times, but
maybe at some point did you get frustrated?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Overall.
So what? Because now and again, you still go to the piano and you still try to play with those few fingers that will work. How did you do that? What did you do? What were you thinking?
Just doing it. Just gumption.
What? Projecting enunciation.
Gumption. Just doing it. Gavin. Do it.
Just go and do it anyway,
yeah.
Right? And he does. It's better than nothing. I remember my dad, who was a great tennis player, and one day his shoulder, he got bursitis in his shoulder, and he couldn't do the whacking serve he used to do. And so he quit tennis. And I was like, Dad, but you can still do other things. Nope, if I'm not going to do it as good as I did it before, it's not worth it. Nah, I wish I knew about this. Changing your expectations, changing the bar, lowering the bar. Dad, just lower it a little bit, and then you won't be frustrated at yourself. Can you see how this can work in your life? Okay? So when you find yourself getting frustrated, angry, upset, even at yourself, lower the bar. Okay? Don't expect so much. That doesn't mean you won't get it. It just means you won't get frustrated. Comments? Yes.
No, maybe you lower the bar. There's probably a point where you need to stop lowering the bar on some stuff.
Okay, give me an example of where you have to stop lowering the bar.
Like how people dress.
Standards. Thank you. Okay. Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. You never lower the bar for standards for yourself. But frankly, I've had to lower the bar for other people and their standards. I was reading in my book the other day, and when I get to the nursing home, I think I might quote this, where I talk about how I was the first person there. I was greeted by two smokers in wheelchairs. And that I wrote that in my journal. That's kind of judgmental of me. That's their choice. They're not the ones that have the word of wisdom, but I am. So don't lower your standards, the bar for your standards, but if you find yourself judging others, then you need to readjust the bar for them, okay? It's their choices. It's between them and God. Good, thank you. All right. Let's go to the next one. This is one of my favorite phrases that I've heard from my friends outside the church. Have you heard this? Raise your hand. Let go and let God. Okay. What do you think that means? What do you think it means? Yes.
It means not fussing so much over having control over everything. I think it means rendering your will to the Lord.
Very good. Not having control over everything. Don't fuss about that. And what was the second part of it?
Aligning your will with God.
Aligning your will with God. Very good. Thank you. Yes.
Yes, it's like climbing stairs with a handrail. Yeah, sometimes let go of the handrail,
but God. Ooh, yeah, not you, Jonathan. But yes, going up the stairs or even down the stairs. As you get older, it's harder to go down than up. And let go of the rail and let God just trust him. Okay, yes.
I think it's another way of saying let God prevail.
Ah, thank you, President Nelson. Let God prevail. Yeah. Let him be the one in charge. And then take your cue from him. Okay? Any other thoughts on that? Jonathan, what do you think it means to let go and let God?
Letting go is something you don't have control over and trust that things will work out.
Okay. All right.
It's about trust in God.
Yeah.
Make you trust him to his part.
Yeah. And I also like it again, as we were talking about relationships with other people, and sometimes we have to let go of what bad thing they're doing because it's between that person and God. You know, unless it affects you directly, this is really good marital advice. There's a lot of things that my husband has had to let go and I've had to let go. And boy, it's just we don't argue as much anymore. Because you know what? It's between Jeff and God. It's between Annette and God. So, good. Especially if you're a control person, this is for you. All right, the next one. You don't have to, you get to. All right? Jonathan has a great example of this. I don't know if you remember talking about this or not. But you are 42-year-old, never been married, single male, living with his mother and father. Okay. So. So how do you turn that around from you have to live with your parents to get to? What can you do to change your attitude, or what's going on in your head on that?
I just... It's not bothering me about this trip. I just go get over it.
Okay. All right. Just get over it. Eh. All right. What about the other choices?
Okay.
So what is your other choice if you're not living with your parents?
Group home.
Group home. We tease him. We say, Jonathan, do you want to live in a group home? That's terrible, because group homes are great. We have learned that since having so many friends with disabilities. But that he shudders to think he's not going to be able to have his mom and dad waiting on him. Or no, the home environment that he has with us. So he also thinks of the alternative. It's better than group home or living elsewhere. This is, so it's one of those things that you can start practicing now. If you find yourself saying, oh my gosh, I have to do homework again. I get to do homework again. Okay? Now, you may not be super sincere at the beginning of this, but you'll find after doing it for so long, you're going, wait a minute, I get to do homework. I get to be educated. I get to be homeschooled. I get to do my home work at home, okay? All my work is homework. All right, so what are some of the other ways that you look at your life? Because this is you enduring well to the end, and you want to be happy, so you're going to start saying, I get to. So think of some of those things that you go, oh, I have to. Give me an example. All right.
Instead of having to do school, I get to just do a ton of homework.
Okay. Hey, instead of having to go to school, I get to do a ton of homework. Good one. Yes, what else?
I don't like to leave my cat.
You don't like to what? Ah, the cat litter box. Okay. So, you don't have to clean the cat litter box. You what? I get to clean the cat litter box. And what are you doing when you're doing that? You are saving your mother from having to do that.
Actually, it's just my cat, so if we just stay there and get more.
Oh, yeah, okay. So your cat thanks you as well. Very good. What else?
Taking out the trash, cleaning off the trees to the floor, cleaning the table, cleaning the counters, mowing, cleaning the bathroom.
Thank you. All those chores that you've...
Wow. Did, like, throughout a week, you have this system of how you need to do the cleaning the house.
Yeah. I think, Jonathan, you would probably love to be able to do your own laundry or take out the dishes or take the... His job was the garbages. Instead of just relying on other people. Yeah, so you could think of Jonathan, you know, that those chores that you've been asked to do, hey, you can do them. You can. You're able to do them. Very good. What else?
I can go from I have to go to work today to I get to have a job.
Yes. Okay, now you're thinking. You don't have to go to work. You get to think of the paycheck. Yes, exactly. So turn it around and see what's really happening here. One more.
Me and my brother were doing work, any sort of work or chores. We always make some sort of game out of it. Like for the dishes, ooh, we're probably having like a Star Wars game or... there has to be some storyline that's going on. Like even taking out the trash, like taking this kid to the curb or something like that.
All right. That's great. So make a game of it. Make it enjoyable. Remember, within reason, of course. Thank you. Yes.
So I have to mow the lawn. We have like this big...
No, wait. You don't have to mow the lawn.
Well, I get to mow the lawn.
You get to mow the lawn.
So I have like music that I like to listen to, and so I play that.
Yes.
So I find it really good, like because I like to sing really loud, and my sister gets really annoyed.
But with the lawnmower, with the music, the earbuds, yeah. So she's got a really good example there. I do the same thing with laundry. I love doing the laundry. I get to do the laundry normally on Fridays, but I sacrificed my life today. Because I get to watch a movie during the day while I'm folding those clothes. So you're going to see your attitude is just going to change, and you're going to find that the drudgeries of life aren't necessarily drudgeries anymore. All right, and the last one we have is reach outward, upward, and inward. So, Jonathan, how are we to reach outward? What are we doing?
We're reaching outside our little bubble.
Okay, reaching outside our little bubble. Exactly. Which, through what? Service, friendships,
good deeds.
Okay, our relationships. So reaching outward is looking at the other person's needs. What can I do for you? Okay, what is reaching upward? How do we reach upward?
Oh, that's me.
Yes. How do you reach upward?
Well, it's only good that I will pray for opportunities, of course.
Pray for opportunity. So prayer. Prayer is an upward, looking toward God. How else can you reach upward to God?
Keeping the commandments.
Keeping the commandments.
Reading what God has said in the past, the scriptures.
Okay, your scriptures, general conference, any connection with God. Take all them. Use them all. Prayer. Scripture reading, going to the temple, general conference,
seminary.
Pondering. Just take time to ponder.
Don't forget seminary.
And seminary!
Woo!
Woo-hoo!
Yeah! Early morning seminary.
Early morning seminary. Ah, nobody has me beat. 5 a.m. seminary.
Oh.
Yeah.
The best part of seminary I found in high school.
Yeah.
Was going back to bed after I left.
Yes, when he was homeschooling, he could just go back to bed and get up for school at noon. Yes. Oh my goodness, it worked so well for him.
Uh-huh.
All right, so let's talk. Whoops, my bad, wrong way. So just in closing, let's talk about the blessings. I think we're going to. I know there's one more slide. Huh. Okay. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? That's hanging up in my she shack. There they are. Okay. What are the blessings? I think you could probably, we've kind of talked about them throughout. And I love these paintings that go with them. This is called Finding Peace. So you get peace, which replaces frustration, doubt, sadness, and fear. Heavenly protection. Because you are living a higher and holier way, you will be protected. Was Jonathan protected? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I feel like his life was saved because of the accident, and you'll hear more about that. And I'll tell you, during that time, it was an incredible spiritual experience that we would never want to forget or trade for anything. You get to have joy in living. It's two of my granddaughters there. And you get, not have to, you get to be an instrument in God's hands. So I hope that you will now be motivated to think optimistically and to change some of the things that you're doing in your life. Just bring them up, just could chunk it up to the next level. And you will live a choice life. No matter what comes your way, come what may. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.